Thanks for listening to Resume on Podcast One.
Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new quick Caribbean escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to Resume. Thank you so much for tuning in. Oh, that's right. My name's Chris Loxamana, and this is the podcast where we talk about the careers, the paths, the highlights, the failures, the crappy jobs we've had. Basically, we go over your resume, and I bring in the best people, and today is absolutely no different. I'm so excited to welcome the Megan Batoon.
Thank you for grouping me in with the best.
Oh, you are the best. Well, this is my second show ever.
Oh,
I'm just kidding. No, I'm messing up.
Well, keeping it going.
Yeah, no, I've had a lot of really great people on, and when I found out you were coming in, I was very, very excited. I mentioned this before the mic set up, but you wear a ton of hats as far as
what
to call yourself. Like, you have an amazing YouTube page.
Thank
where
you.
You're an incredible dancer.
That's where it all started.
That's where it all started. But at the same time, you make really funny videos. You do comedy. You do you act. You blog. You do fashion tips, beauty tips. Love French fries, which I want to talk about too.
I don't even bring those up right now.
Oh, I just had some. So they're fresh in my mind. the French fries and
fresh French fries.
Exactly. And you just I just want to ask you when people come up to you and ask you. What you do? What's your response?
Oh my gosh, it's so hard. I guess it depends on where I am that they're asking me that. And a lot of people don't understand what I do because I make so much content online. But people don't understand when you're like, oh, I make videos. They're like, what kind of videos are you making? And you're like, no, I'm making comedy videos.
Sure.
I do dance videos. I do cooking. I do all these different things on YouTube.
I make videos. No, I don't do that. I'm a dancer. I'm a dancer.
And they're like, oh, okay.
Oh, dancing, huh? What kind of dancing do you do making these videos?
It's true. It's sad, but that's exactly what people think. So I guess I would just say that I'm a content creator. I don't usually say I'm a YouTuber because that has a different connotation than content creator.
It really does. And it's so weird because it's such a viable title now these days, especially like, you know, you ask any kid like in elementary school, like, what do you want to do? One out of 10 are going to say, oh, I want to be a YouTuber.
I know.
It used to be, I want to be a movie star. I want to be on TV. I want to be, I want to be a singer. No, I want to be a YouTuber. And that covers all those grounds. And, it's now its own thing. And, I mean, they make a lot of money, like going on YouTube. It's actually a legit job.
It is.
Us older folks, like me, for instance, I think, oh, YouTubers, all those kids, what are they doing?
I know. Well, it's a majority kids, but it really is. Like, this is the hardest job I've ever had. It's the most creative. I feel more like me doing it. Obviously, I'm being me on every video. But it's incredible that I never, ever thought that this could be my actual job ever.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't even a thing for years. Like when people ask me, how long, like, you're in podcasting, is that what you've always wanted to do? I said, when I was in high school, podcasting wasn't a thing.
Right.
Like, you can, yeah, so it all just evolved and we just kind of went with it, you know?
Yeah.
And you're at the forefront of it, like, so that's really cool. And so content creator, I guess, is very appropriate. It's, it really does cover all the different roles that you play.
Yeah.
Maybe even producer, I guess you.
Yeah. We kind of do everything.
That last one of your videos, I think it was one of your most recent ones, where you're dancing in the skate park.
Yeah.
That was awesome, by the way.
Thanks.
And filmed really well. And so yeah, let's talk about that. Let's start off with your dancing.
Okay.
Because one, you're incredible. Like it's you're super good. This is coming from, that's like me saying a good, someone's a good singer and then admitting that I'm tone deaf. Like, I don't know anything about dancing, but I can tell you're very good. And the choreography, the people you're dancing with are all very good.
Mm-hmm,
it's filmed very well. And I like I grew up skateboarding, so I love the fact that I was in a skate park, you know?
Yeah, tapping into that demo.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. You hit all of them. Like I'm watching you hit every single cylinder there. I remember reading the description. You said you kind of just came up with that a little bit on the fly. Right?
Well, oh gosh, not so much on the fly, but because it's choreography, you have to plan it out.
Sure.
But usually it takes me forever to choreograph something. I overthink mostly everything in my life. So I was struggling because I knew I wanted to do a dance that I knew it had to be good. It had to be smart because there's so many things in dance that people don't understand. They just think there's a beat, but then really you can decipher or deconstruct really the music into the beats, the backbeats, the lyrics, the wordplay.
The subdivisions, everything.
The ad libs, everything. So I was overthinking the whole thing and I said, you know what? I just want it to be fun for my birthday. It's a throwback song, Ride With Me by Nelly. Everyone gets hyped
Classic.
When they just hear it. Yeah.
I love that song.
So I was like, I need to just depict exactly that feeling in this. So I just scrapped the whole thing. And then I guess that part is on the fly. Whatever I made up in that 2-hour session is what's on the video.
You talked about how you kind of get in your own head and sometimes I do the same thing because I play music and I'm working so hard on something that I can't finish it because I want it to be perfect. I want it I want it to be a masterpiece. Every single thing I want is to be a masterpiece, and I'll take as much time as I need. But then I look back, it's like, oh, I haven't even put it out yet, and it's been taken forever.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you get your mind out of that and just want to put it out? Because it was fantastic. Like you could have not said that and said, I've been working on this thing for months, and I would have said, yeah, that makes sense. Like
yeah. I mean, I was working on it for months,
yeah.
But that's but better than a year,
exactly.
I guess. But I guess the thing is, perfectionism is such a bad thing in general, but I feel like it's the reason why my stuff is the way it is. I kind of transitioned the bad stigma of perfectionism coddling you and caging you into not being creative, but I'm like thinking to myself, I know I'm a perfectionist, so I know that I'm going to create something that's perfect to me, even though it's probably not going to be exactly what I wanted. The way it comes out is how it had to in order to happen. Like, that's the art of it.
Yeah, somebody used to tell me that what you want is you want your 7 to be everyone else's like 10.
Yeah.
Or like if you can get that going, then when you do hit that, even just an 8 in your head, it already exceeds what everybody could have imagined.
Yeah.
And yeah. And it sounds like, I mean, I don't know. It just sounds like you're a little hard on yourself. Like it kind of worries me. Like, cause you're like, oh, it was nothing. I'm watching this thing. Like, this looks very difficult.
Thank you. I am very hard on myself. We're all going to be our worst critics though.
Yeah.
We should be our best fans and our worst critics and then find that happy medium of great artist.
So what kind of style of dancing? Is that, it's like hip-hop, right? Is that?
It's hip-hop. I just learned this. There was no term for what I do. It's called urban choreography. We didn't, even the people that made this dance style popular didn't have a name for it until the old school people were like, this isn't hip-hop dancing. This isn't, what is this? So they all came together and they said, we need to coin this. People that are 21 years old, 23, 45, this group of people, like,
oh yeah, that's range.
Ranging in age, they were the pioneers of this dance style. It's called urban choreography.
And that's what you that you put yourself into that category.
Mm-hmm.
Is that? Yeah, I think that's my favorite style of dancing.
Me too.
Yeah, just it looks. Oh yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, just I love the way it looked just like synchronized, and the way it's filmed too, it's just beautiful to watch. So yeah, thank bravo. You. And you do a lot of solo pieces, which look terrifying.
yeah, they are. You don't have anyone but yourself.
Yeah, because I mean, this is coming from me who, when I go and I have to dance, like if I'm at a wedding or a club or a bar or anything like that, and I, you know, I get up and, you know, I want to do a shake my groove thing. I do it kind of funny. Like I kind of just play off the, okay, yeah. I know I look like an idiot, so I'm just going to have fun with it and I'll just be funny, the funny kind of dancing. And it's gotten me quite far. Like, you
that's
know,
the greatest, I can, though.
Yeah, because nobody really cares. And that's something I figured out too, is like nobody really cares what I look like out there. Like, as long, you know, it, just if I'm doing it or not.
Right.
That's really what really matters there. So, yeah, just so I, once again, you going up on stage by yourself where now everyone kind of cares what you're doing. Like, like that's, and I loved you did a solo piece to Bo Burnham.
Oh, gosh. I am such a fan of Bo. That was my favorite piece ever.
Really?
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
So much to me. It's he's so brilliant.
Yeah.
I watched that special. He did a screening at Largo, one of my favorite comedy clubs.
Yeah, I love Largo.
Yeah. We watched it, and instantly I said to myself, I know I'm not supposed to choreograph to comedy because no one cares, but I'm going to do it.
I love that. That's ambitious. Some of my favorite musicians, like I follow like on Instagram, they do that with speeches. Like they'll take like a presidential speech
and they'll
learn every single note of the speech, and then they'll just play along to it and transcribe it perfectly. It's just a guy talking, and it blows my mind. Like that kind of talent, and like it's so freak. There's no rhythm.
Yeah.
Because like, I think that was a live recording. Was that a live recording that he was doing?
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, so. It's not on a metronome. It could, like, there's some parts that are going to drag. There's some parts that are going to be a little head.
Mm-hmm.
And you're dancing to it. And, yeah, it was beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's very, very fun.
How'd you come up with that? Just...
The idea?
Just any choreography. Like, I'm confused on how any of that works. Like, I love watching... I always see the end of it, but I never know the process of hearing a piece and then coming up with the moves and then teaching it and then... and then now doing the layout of like you guys on the right are going to do this move, we're going to do this move, and it's going to look cool, and we all do it at once. It's so far beyond my my mind. There's no way I could figure that out.
It's so visual, which I think is the main part of it all. Because if you listen, since you do music, you know how there's different layers of music. There's you could put the guitar here, and then the next layer you're going to do the bass, and you're going to do vocals.
Sure.
So basically, what a dancer does, well, the kind of dance choreography that I do is we hear the song and we hear the lyrics and we decompose it into what sticks out to us. So we'll hear a bass here, we'll hear an ad lib there. And what I think is really cool about the style of dance that I do is that we pick out these things that people probably don't know that are in the music, and then we highlight them with a movement. So if there was an ad lib, I'm not going to sing, but imagine a run.
You could
someone
sing.
Does a Mariah Carey run, whatever. Exactly. So you see how like you visualize that in a audio wave, and it's a true audio wave because your voice is going up and down pitch-wise. Mm-hmm. I would physically do something where either my arm is going in a wave motion or my body is going up and down matching the exact pitch and volume of all of it. So we're just...
You kind of mimic, the visual, like watching the visualization of the waves.
Yeah, so basically a dancer's body is our instrument to show what the instrument is in the music.
Okay, so yeah, so you're just kind of representing that.
Yeah, and then that's the bass level. So then on top of that is taking the words and doing wordplay with it. We're being very clever with our bodies. So if someone said, grab me a drink or something like that.
I love that song, by the way. It's a good song.
Grab me a drink. It's a T-Pain remix. If someone said something like that, then it's kind of like charades, but a cool version of charades. So I would do something where I'd be drinking a bottle of water, but then I would do some spin or some other combo of movements in order to get to that part. So, or completely switching the meaning of something. If you did the word time, instead of pointing at your wrist for a watch, you could do something with cooking, like the actual like time herb. Like we're really switching it up on people.
Yeah, I had my arms as clock arms, and they're like, okay. I have a shorter one and a longer one. Yeah. And so I could totally be a choreographer.
Nemo.
Yeah, I think this is my new calling. Thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
I love the dancing. I love all of that. It's just because I don't know anything about it, which is why I appreciate it so much. And because I know how much – I could tell that it takes a lot of effort, mm-hmm. which I love. I could tell that it takes a lot of time. Now, you've been dancing your whole life, I imagine, right? Or
quite a bit of it.
Quite a bit of it. How did you know, like, you were good? Is it
– I had someone tell me.
Okay.
I didn't know. I didn't think I could dance at all. I was on an all-star cheerleading team, and that was my absolute life. I didn't do really anything else.
What grade or what?
Oh,
what part
gosh.
Of your life?
6th grade to 20.
Ooh, yeah. That's a lot of cheer.
It's a lot of cheer. It's a lot, and it's not the cheerleading you think. It's not the grease, rah rah, spoomba thing. It's really dangerous concussions and sprained ankles and backflips, standing from just standing straight backflips, throwing people in the air while they do backflips before you catch them. It's very intense competitive cheerleading.
Like, bring it on.
Yes, but more intense.
Even more intense than Bring It On 2, then.
Oh, it just goes worse.
Okay, it gets worse, yes.
As Bring It On numbers get higher, the level of cheerleading gets worse.
I can see that.
But yeah, I had my coach put me in the front for a little dance sequence and said, you should come to the hip-hop team. And I just laughed and I said, there's no way. I'm a cheerleader. I know I'm good at this. And she said, no, I think you should really try it out. She had to actually convince me to go. And but the first rehearsal or practice, it was called back then, but the first practice, I decided that I just loved it and I wanted to do that instead of cheerleading.
It just clicked a little bit more.
Yeah, I was just naturally better at it. Cheerleading's very difficult.
Oh, yeah. I have to talk about cheerleading. Well, I'm definitely writing that down because I have a lot of thoughts on that as well. Yeah. I need you to clear some things up.
Many people have lots of thoughts on cheerleading.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you just opened up a whole can of worms. So as far as dancing goes, though, do you think it's something that can be taught? I mean, like, when I think, like, for instance, impressionists, there are those guys that you know, or girls, that when you do an impression, it sounds spot on. Like, they're like technicians. They can mold their voice any which way they want, whether it's a sound effect or a character or anything. And then I'm not that. And no matter how hard I try, mm-hmm. I can't get anywhere near like an accent. It's like I'm trying to do the opposite, it sounds like. Whenever anybody asks me to do an impression, they do it to laugh at me.
Yeah.
Because of how bad I did.
You should be like, do you want to hear not an impression of Al Pacino? And
exactly.
Then just try and do Al Pacino as close as you can, and it's going to be the opposite.
Or if like they say, do Al Pacino, I should try and go for like my little old Australian lady. And then it would be closer to Al Pacino than if I actually tried Al Pacino. But dancing is like, I look at dancers like that, like they can move their body any way. Like I know people that, like they just have control of every single muscle to where they know what it looks like just by feeling. Like, I think I do a body roll and then I go in the mirror and I try it and it is not a body roll. Like I can't do anything like that. And, and it feels like I do though, but there are people who can actually do it. And is it something that you think could be taught, or like, is there a naturalness to it that people have too, that you think is more of that? Because, like, basically what I'm asking, is there hope for me? Like, can I become an urban choreography dancer?
Yeah. I mean, it's all practice. I feel like people that can't really hold a beat, that's going to be hard.
That'll hurt, yeah.
But once you got a good grip on the beats, you'll definitely be fine. It's really just honing your body into understanding how you move.
Okay, so yeah.
So you got some hope.
It's just practice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all. Yeah, maybe I just don't practice my body rolls enough.
Yeah.
All right. Before we get into the cheerleading, though, you are here because you have a. As I said, you wear a lot of hats.
So many hats.
You don't. And we. I definitely want to talk about some of your blog. You blog, is that like a?
I do thing? Blog.
Yeah, like the lifestyle, the fashion tips. Mm-hmm. I have one on your website. And that's MeganBatoon.com.
Yes.
And you also have some other things coming up too. With like, I guess I'll just let you explain it because I don't really know much about it.
Sure. Oh, so there's so many things that are always going on.
Do that one thing though. No, I'm just kidding. I like that. It's you just got to keep it coming from, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's hard. Well, it's not hard. It's great, and it's
It's hard. I mean, it's kind of hard, right?
When you have so many things that you want to do as a creative person, you're like, how do I do them all? And I think that's what YouTube has helped me do, to be able to do silly rap songs or cooking videos or dance videos or vlogs, whatever it is that has given me a platform. It's almost like the Donald Glover Childish Gambino complex, where he does a million things, but he did it smart, where he did it one at a time.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, let's do them all at one, yeah. one time and see if
you're,
we
you're
can.
Doing like, you're like a shotgun. Like yeah. everything's coming at
a
you.
A revolving shotgun, just yeah. in every direction. Let's create stuff. But I think it's stimulating, and I think people want that. So many people are sitting just waiting to digest more content no matter what. So I want to help give them what they want. But yeah, I've got, speaking of YouTube, that's my main thing. I have YouTube, 2 videos a week on YouTube.
2 videos a week. That's a lot of videos. Yeah. Like
it feels like it too. But yeah, that's youtube.com/MegaMatune. They're all comedic based. The blog I do once a week, and that's still comedic based. I wanted to do some sort of fashion play. I was getting a lot of outfit of the day questions from all the Twitter sphere.
What are outfit of the day questions?
What are you wearing today, or where can I get your shirt, or can you do OOTDs?
So you would tweet like a photo of what you're wearing, and yeah. then they kind of comment on it and ask you questions about.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And it was not initially wanting to tell people where I got stuff. I was just like, here's an ice cream cone, me eating it. And then people are like, where's your outfit from? We need all of it. So I was like, oh, how do I do this? It has to be funny. That's the only thing I know. So there's so many other people doing fashion blogs, and I was coming at it years late. So I figured this is the one way that I could make it different, is just to be down to earth, very relatable, normal girl like I am, and very comedic in tone. And I think it's done pretty well for keeping my personality in the realm of everything else.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with keeping your personality. It's the same. It's fun. It's easy to watch. You're very personable on camera. And you can see it just go to your YouTube channel youtube.com/MeganBatune mm-hmm. and just watch any of her videos. And trust me, she covers like everything. Like she has a comedy, she has a dancing, she has a cooking, and it's all there.
Anything you want. It's a roulette.
Yeah. Just everybody set that as your new homepage. And yeah. there will be a lot of content. You won't get tired. Whenever you open up your browser, you'll have a new video to watch, and it'll be fun.
Yeah, I'll add a little tab for Google, but still just go to my page first. Then you can get to Google from there.
Yeah. You don't need to. You're going to Google her name anyway. Just set the YouTube page up.
Yeah.
It'll be all right. And so you have something going on with Target.
Target, yeah. First of all, can I just say,
little up-and-comer,
that
Target.
I am obsessed with Target.
I was at Target yesterday.
I was almost at Target before this, but I got caught in traffic.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm going to go to Target after this.
Okay, I'll see you there. I love Target. Yeah, I've done a few campaigns with them. The most recent one I just did was a body positivity swimwear campaign for them. And it was so great because they picked a bunch of different people, some influencers, some models, some normal people, to wear their stuff and be very honest with the campaign. It was not like commercially wear this because it does that. They asked us really genuine, candid questions, and we answered them exactly how we felt. They cut together a complete campaign of it. The suits were so great. Everybody was so different in body type. There was some plus size girls. There was some very petite girls. There's some normal size, some curvy. It was so good to be a part of that because I feel like everyone struggles with swimsuits and beach bodies and all these people trying to look a certain way and waist trainers and all of that.
Sure.
You don't have to look a certain way in order to wear a bathing suit. A beach body is a body that's on the beach. It doesn't have to be chiseled. And I think Target did such a good job with showing that. Didn't Photoshop any of our photos. It's every inch of us is real. And I was so excited to not only work with Target because I love them, but I was so excited to give a good message because I know a lot of girls watch me. And I think it's a great thing to see someone that you watch or look at not go into this whole body hate thing.
Yeah. I mean, and it's cool coming from Target. Target's huge. Target
oh,
is
my gosh.
Such a huge corporation. They have a huge voice. Like, I mean, everybody's been to it. Everybody goes. Like,
no matter
who you are, you've been to Target or you go to Target. Mm-hmm. And so that's cool that they've decided to do what my favorite thing in all of media and all of anything is all I want is honesty. And I think that's what people are kind of hanging on to, especially with, like, podcasting.
Music, don't
anything.
Even get me started.
All you want is just honestly, like, I prefer to hear, I like seeing raw footage of things. I like hearing, watching behind the scenes. I like things that aren't polished to make me think a certain way. Like consuming it the way it happened, the way it was meant to be, things like that.
Yeah.
And any sort of art, all you want is honesty. And yeah, so that's cool that Target is jumping on that.
I know.
And I think it'll hit. Nobody's ever reacted negatively to just, like, straight honesty. I mean, sure, maybe the message was negative and they can react that way, but to the actual concept of it.
Yeah, it's still, once it's authentic, it's so easy to swallow and digest.
Yeah.
And everyone wants it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's where we're all hanging. I think that's why YouTube is so big, is because now these are people who are creating their own videos. They're not, like, corporations or major studios doing these videos. It's, you know, a guy can take a selfie on his iPhone and, like, do a video, like a quick chat on his iPhone through the front facing camera of his iPhone. And put that on YouTube, and it'll get millions of views. Like, it's just, that's kind of the way we're going right now, and I like it.
I like it too. Yeah. Real recognizes real.
Oh yeah,
always.
Oh, we totally do. We always recognize the real. Burt's Bees.
Yeah.
So what's up with that?
That's really exciting too. I just learned this. I'm so glad that I worked with Burt's Bees recently on this campaign they're doing to bring back the bees, because I didn't realize that. First of all, I was very scared of bees, and I think most people are. So,
I thought I felt a bee on my ankle the other day.
Yeah, and you freaked out, and you cut your whole leg off, right?
Oh yeah, that's where it is.
That explains.
Yeah, that explains well.
Okay. I thought I was taking a sick day, but now it all makes sense. Bees make up so much of our food. Like, one third of the food we eat is pollinated by bees, and I had no idea. Like, all of your favorite foods is because of this thing that you're scared of.
Yeah, what a cruel joke by God, right?
I know!
We need these guys? I hate them.
I know! He's over here crafting with his thumbs.
Yeah.
Let's put a stinger on them.
Yeah, we're going to put a stinger on them, but the honey they make is going to be incredible.
Oh my gosh, honey's amazing too.
Yeah.
I'm just hungry at this point. But Burt's Bees is so great. Every time you take a selfie, which I think is really smart, because the 2017, you take a selfie every day pretty much, or if one girl is taking a selfie, she's going to take 500 to find a good one. So if you just take one of those selfies and share it through Burt's Bees, they're going to plant 5,000 wildflowers that help bees repopulate. And I think it's incredible, because we're already taking selfies, so why not do it for a better cause?
Wait, so they really for taking a selfie, they'll do that?
You don't even have to leave your bed. You wake up and you're like, hey, I want to help the earth today. Open up your front-facing camera, snap a quick pic, and then you just planted five. You didn't do it. Someone else will. But you
I'll
helped.
Take the credit.
Yeah, as we all will. But yeah, it's incredible. I think it's such a good thing that brands are understanding that social media is really important, and that people on social media realize that we can do more than just tweet our pictures of our lunch salad and do something about.
By the way,
world
that shirt
issues.
You were wearing in the lunch salad was incredible. You
gotta
tell me where you got
that. Check my blog. It's probably there. But yeah, I think it's great. I think everyone's understanding the meaning of life better and how to navigate in this weird world we're living in.
Yeah, I agree. And that social media is huge when it comes to that. I just see a lot of people, though, waking up about to take their selfie and just think, wait, if I press this shutter button, 5,000 more bees are going to come. but now we know how important they are.
So important. I went to a bee, what is it called? A beekeeping farm? I don't know what they're called. But I went because I wanted to start doing one new thing a month that I've never done before. And so I was working with Burt's, and I said, I'm kind of still scared of bees, even though I'm very thankful. So I'm going to go to this beekeeping experience. And I had a whole suit on and bees were swarming around me. I was holding a honeycomb. I forget what they're called.
Yeah, honeycomb. But
so like it was covered in bees and they were on top of each other. And I couldn't believe it because if there was one bee prior to working with birds, I would just swat it away or even try and scream and
run
away. You
would go for the swat? Oh, man, I would
just
retreat.
Probably run. Yeah. I would just become a track star at that point. You would see me in the Olympics. It would just cut to me at the Olympics.
So now you see a bee and you just like stick your finger out like a hummingbird and it just like lands like, hello, friend.
No, I wish I could go be there. No, if I see a bee now, I'll just be like, thanks, guys. Doing a great job.
Yeah, appreciate it.
And then I'll be on my merry way.
Appreciate your work. It's like seeing a veteran now. It's like, thank you for your service.
Yeah. Big fan. Big fan.
I'll let you be on your way. Okay. So this cheerleading.
Yeah. What about it? I just have to stop you right now. I just saw your shirt. The Starting Line was my favorite band in middle school.
No way.
Yeah. The Best of Me was my absolute favorite song for years and years and years.
I love The Starting Line. Yeah. How crazy. Okay. And how random I'm wearing this shirt.
I know.
And you're like the only person in years who's ever like noticed.
Really?
Noticed what it was. Yeah.
Oh,
for those
gosh.
Who are listening, Starting Line, band from Philadelphia. They're like pop punk.
Yeah.
And yeah, they did a song called The Best of Me. And
they
I
did
got
so
this,
many other songs too, but that one is the main, I feel like their main hit.
I got this shirt. They did like, you know, every band's doing like a 10-year anniversary, like an album, and they play an album from front to back.
Oh.
So the album that The Best of Me was on, Say It Like You Mean It.
Yes.
They this was a couple years ago, they played in LA and they played that whole album front to back.
How did I not know?
Yeah, because they like broke up and then they got together just to play that album. And it was super funny because.
Oh, I would have loved to be there.
It was incredible.
I'm such an alt rock emo girl.
Oh, yeah. Say Anything opened for them. And I think Reggie and the Full Effect played too, but what's funny is all the guys are like my age, like
we all
listened to them growing up, so like they kind of imprinted. I'm the same way. Like I love that style of music, and I grew up listening to it. And the curtains open up, and the singer just like right before he strikes first chords, like, "Hey, wow, there's a lot of facial hair. That's weird." like they never had to deal with that ever.
Yeah, of course. And, it's like prepubescent.
Oh yeah, but I mean everyone's having fun, and this guy goes crowd surfing, and he gets dropped on his head, and he's just like out.
No.
Yeah, so they stop the music, and everyone's like kind of freaking out, like, "Oh my god, what do we do? What do we do?" And then I've been to a lot of shows growing up, and what was weird is like one guy runs up, he looks like me, he's like, "Oh, I'm a doctor." And the girl's like, "Yeah, I'm a nurse." And another girl's like, "Yeah, I'm a nurse too. Make sure check his vitals. Make sure his head's lifted." And they're all taken care of, but they're like just sweaty kids like in their t-shirts who were just moshing like a minute ago. They're all doctors and nurses because we all just grew up and became things. But
that's
we still
hilarious.
Like that stuff, yeah.
I thought you were going to say it was dead silence. And then they were like, "Tell me what you thought about me." That would have been amazing.
That would have been weird.
Just on cue. That's super funny.
Yeah, that's what they do when they panic. Like, he just looks back. "Tell me what you thought about it."
That's very funny.
Yeah, that would be weird. Okay, so cheerleading.
Great segue.
Don't let my shirt distract you from me about to complain about cheerleading. Maybe I'll complain.
Let's hear your complaints.
I do like attending sporting events. I love.
Okay.
I love going to sporting events. I love Laker games.
Okay.
And you know, any basketball game, really. And they have this group at the Laker games called the Laker Girls.
Yes. Dancers.
They're dancers.
Dancers.
They're not cheerleaders.
No.
Ah, damn it. And then my whole entire argument was going to be null and void if they're not.
Good.
Okay.
Nip it in the bud.
Okay, it's gone.
Yeah, a lot of people think
I grouped them all together. I'm naive.
It's a very common thing. But if people think if they have a pom-pom, then you're a cheerleader. But there's pom dancing, so that's not cheerleading. I wish I could just... If you want me to be here for 4 hours, I can explain cheerleading to you, but I'll just say it's...
We have time, right, man? Yeah.
I'll just say it's much harder than everyone thinks. That's all I'll say.
My high school was really, like, well-known for cheerleading, I think. Los Alamitos High. It's in Orange County.
Okay.
And they used to go to all the cheerleading competitions. They would fly out. It was like Bring It On 8. It was really, really, really good. And, you know, I – and it's incredible what they do. Like, it's It's just, I don't know, it's just a whole other world. It's kind of like bodybuilding for me. Like, I just,
yeah,
like, okay, like, people are super into it, and I understand it takes a lot of work to get there.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, just like, personally, I just like, if I don't understand the,
yeah,
the concept of it, like, why?
Yeah. It's, well, competitive cheerleading, you're not cheering for anything. It's your own sport. So that is a whole thing in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Cheerleading.
Why do they call it cheerleading?
You know, I don't know.
They should change it.
They should change it. Who should we talk to?
Stacking choreography. Whoever named urban choreography, give us another name for cheerleading, please.
They're just a committee of people that are just making up names for art forms.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should not be called cheerleading. I absolutely agree with you. All-star.
All right. Yep. I won.
Okay.
I won.
And that's it.
No, I don't know. It's just, it's like, where do you go from there?
Oh, you do something else. Because
yeah,
your body's...
It's like philosophy. Like a philosophy major.
Well, I feel like they could do more things. I would like to see more philosophy majors become comedians. Because that's where it is. People are relating to comedians the most right now. And I think that philosophers have the most to say about life. So why don't you put the mindset into a body that can... knows how to talk to people.
Comedians are modern day philosophers.
I agree.
Yeah, just like the way they see the world and the way they understand it, and
mm-hmm.
then tell us about it from
yep.
their point of view, and the reason why we think it's funny is because it's true.
Yeah.
And so yeah, they're totally modern day philosophers.
Agreed.
And there's actually a podcast out there. I forget what it's called, but the host is he's a really nice guy. Just look it up. But he interviews a comedian.
Okay.
And they talk about a philosopher the whole time. They just like kind of compare.
Oh,
like,
what
philosopher he's most like, and they kind of just go.
No
into
way!
That. Yeah.
It's like a BuzzFeed quiz, but something that matters.
Yeah. Which philosopher are you? Yeah.
Do you know what it's called?
I don't.
All right, I'll just type it in.
Just Google it. Yeah,
I'll Google in host that is really nice guy.
Yeah, Google. Yeah, really nice guy host. Well, first you got to get off youtube.com/MeganBatoon, which is your homepage.
Right.
Go to Google.
Mm-hmm.
Google.com. It's a search engine website.
You never heard it. It's up and coming.
GOOGLE.com. Search. I think it comes up when you type R, really nice guy that hosts philosophy podcast. That's like that's what it predicts.
I'm definitely going to listen to that. I love comedy. I like philosophy a lot too. So that'll be great.
I totally agree. That's a good, like, comedians are just philosophers.
Yeah.
So, all right. But yeah, cheerleading. All right. I guess we'll just, I'll just continue down my path of how I think of it. No, I respect it. Like, I mean, as far as I know how hard it is, I know how dangerous it is watching that. And it's just, I don't know. It's just like, there's a part of it. Maybe it's because I was just growing up and I was just like this like loner kid, emo kid, listening to the Starting Line and stuff.
Yeah.
And like, there's these girls with big smiles, like waving, like they do the wave where it's palm up, but just the fingers bend.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Like a little cartoon.
Yeah, like that. Like they, like you can kind of clap your hand with your fingers.
Yeah,
and they go. Ah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's a different technique. I've never really seen that one.
maybe my cheerleaders weren't as good as I thought.
Maybe they just
whatever.
Had some hand problems.
All right, so fashion.
Fashion.
You're into fashion.
I am into fashion. The thing is, here's the thing. I am not a fashionista. But I like clothes a lot.
What makes you a fashionista?
Oh.
Like, I know that, like, there's certain, like, I can play a tune on the piano, but I'll never call myself a piano player. Like, I don't
right.
think I'm good enough, but.
I guess if you live and breathe fashion, like, do you know what, I'm sure you know what Sex and the City is, but have you ever seen Sex and the City?
I just took that BuzzFeed quiz, like, the other day. And
which character are you? Are you Samantha?
I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Funny. So you know the characters' names, though.
I just know Samantha, because that's like, oh, you're such a Samantha.
Wait, did someone say that to you, or did you actually take a quiz?
Yeah, let's just keep going. So sex
Chris,
and the City.
We're going to get back to this. I will put it on the back burner for now, but we are going to revisit. So Sex and the City, a bunch of 30-year-old women are, I would say, they're fashionistas. They live and breathe shoes. They're obsessed with the Manolo Blahnik, whatever, just all these brand names. Like, I don't know any brand names very much. I mean, I know what they are, but
do you like that though? I mean, I don't know either, and I enjoy that. I like
you enjoy not knowing.
Yeah, I like being kind of ignorant and oblivious to like any of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the weird thing about my taste is if I go into Nordstrom and I don't know any of the shoe brands and I pick a shoe out and I say, this is a shoe I like. It's the most expensive. So I have champagne taste, but I don't know what the brands are. So I'm in a weird situation.
At least you know it's good, though. Yeah, you're not going by the price tag.
Yes. Yeah, that would be not fun for my wallet.
Yeah, you're going by quality still. All right.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say I'm a fashionista, but I enjoy fashion a lot, and I have a kind of distinct style, I think. Brand new, but I like to mash tomboyish stuff with girlier things. Like right now I'm wearing a oversized flannel over a lace bodysuit. It's kind of both worlds clashing when you think they shouldn't mix, but maybe they don't, but I like it.
Yeah. Like I didn't think at all, like, oh, that's what's she wearing? It's kind of weird.
You're like, why isn't she wearing a Blink-182 shirt?
She's definitely not a Samantha. Yeah, why aren't you wearing Blink-182 stuff?
You know, it's laundry day.
Have you been to emo night? It's like an event
I almost went.
You almost went?
But I have a friend that goes a lot and she can never really get in. So I'd rather just listen to my record player.
I don't know. It's fun.
It would be fun.
Like, I went, I guess where is it now? It's like, I forget where it is. The Echo. I think it was at the Echo when I went. But it used to be at this bar called the Shortstop, right by Dodger Stadium.
Is that a
bar?
That must have been
tiny. Yeah, that's where they started doing. And then, you know, it started getting too crowded and, like, people were waiting out the door.
Yeah.
And so they moved it to the Echo. But, yeah, I went and Mark Hoppus from Blink-182 actually DJed and it was super fun. Like, and he was just playing all these old, like, yeah. And it's just weird because it was cool because every band from that era sucks live. Like, they're not very good
really?
Live. Yeah, because I mean, they're just the music's really simple, but their musicianship isn't necessarily amazing, and maybe just because you know I have champagne taste for music, you know, it kind of just evolved.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird hearing like them play the tracks from the CDs. It's like you're watching the bands play every song exactly perfect the way that you grew up listening to it.
Yeah,
so it's kind of fun, just blasting speakers and everybody's just singing along, moshing, and doing all that stuff.
I'm sure. Well, I'm sure it grew so big because there's that music's not being made anymore.
No, it's so, like embarrassing now. Like it's like, so these are people I'll be embarrassed with. Like, I did this.
I know. It's so I.
Yeah, the swoopy hair, and I like. Oh yeah, I remember. Oh, is that back? And like the way that was never a thing. Like, don't ever ask that again.
Oh my gosh, that's the greatest. If ever, I don't. I would just die.
You should do some choreography to like a Taking Back Sunday song or something.
Oh just my like, oh. God, I would love to do that.
Yeah, just like connect with all of them because like they.
I feel like I almost did. Oh, I did a Dashboard Confessional dance once.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
What song?
Oh gosh.
I only
shirts
know, like,
and
two
gloves.
Of them. Yeah, I don't even know.
Okay,
what that
one is. That one's a little bit more niche than. Yeah. Then, like, Hands Down. That,
yeah,
probably
I
know
like,
Hands
I know
Down.
Hands Down and Vindicated,
oh,
which
Vindicated,
is like on the Spider-Man.
Of course you do.
The Spider-Man soundtrack.
Right.
Yeah, that's the only one.
That's probably huge for them.
Oh, yeah.
Doing a soundtrack as an emo band.
Oh, yeah. If you get major. Yeah, I remember Hella Goodbye had a song on Shrek.
Oh, gosh. Did they really?
Yeah, like Shrek like 3 or something. And they got a ton of money for it.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That feels like, oh, one of us has made it.
Oh yeah, it's weird seeing that. Yeah, but now it's like virtually non-existent. It's all just nostalgic.
I know, which is kind of nice to be able to enter that period of time instead of being like, "What's the new this?" Or Panic at the Disco has a good new album, "Death of a Bachelor."
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. They're kind of still making music. I feel like
they're still doing a good job. Yeah, they're probably like, at the forefront
mm-hmm.
of like that whole scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
The scene?
I said scene in quotes because
you
that was
it?
Actually a word they used.
Oh.
Like, oh, he's so scene. Like, it was like an adjective.
Yeah,
like,
no.
Described
I thought
somebody.
You were doing a pun.
Oh,
and
no, I'm not that smart.
No, it is. You did. You made the scene and then scene.
Oh, I did do a pun. Hey,
yeah,
check
hey.
Me out.
Yeah.
I'm laughing because Mia, who's here with Megan... She was talking about fantasy football earlier, and I asked her what her team names are, because that's like, of course, that's my first question if I find out you play. And there was one was what were they, Mia?
Your
fantasy football.
Show me your TDs
and something.
Luke, I'm not your Favre.
That's the one. That's so good.
Favre.
That's a good one.
All right. Hey, don't downplay it. She's downplaying it. But yeah, so I love a good pun too. Yeah. I forgot what mine were. Like I had Andrew Luck and I forget who else. Oh, man, I'm never gonna remember it now. They were actually really
not
good.
With that attitude. You won't.
I know. Now but that, this is terrible pod. I'm not gonna continue this. This is called Resume. Damn it.
Oh yeah,
Megan. What are you doing?
We have changed the format.
Yeah, there's never a format on this show. Resume is just the trick. It's really just me talking. All right. So did you have any other jobs like while you're being a team? Like, what'd you do?
Oh, my first job ever. I was working as a sales associate at a store called Papaya, which I don't think exists anymore.
Sales associate, just like retail shop, like you just, like, you do cashier. You're maybe putting the clothes back on the hanger, kind of thing, and helping people out. Yeah.
So I did that. I never did. I did so many retail jobs. None of them I was at the register. I don't think they trusted me with numbers.
You are pretty shady.
That's just because the light is not on me right now.
That's what it is.
But no, I never did the register. I always did go backs, which is what people have to put the fitting room stuff back. Yeah, I did that. I worked at American Apparel, which is also closing down.
That's crazy.
I'm sensing a pattern. Everywhere I work is shutting down.
Hey, you got to get off the show now. you are cursed. I'm worried. And I don't want this to get canceled. No, American Apparel. I mean, for years they've been saying that they're going out of business. And now it's like officially going out to where you can. I don't know why they didn't just hold on to like their wholesale, because I mean, people who just printed things in American Apparel shirts, like, I like those shirts better.
I think they are going to keep that.
Okay.
I read an article once, so who knows if it's even right, but they are going to keep that. They're going to shut down all their other stores though.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, going in to like pay that much for a blank tee, I guess. I mean, their advertising was so good. It's so provocative. And
I know.
Like, and like
stimulating.
It's very stimulating. They owned Helvetica.
I know. How do you do that?
Yeah, how do you claim a font?
I know.
That
they
comes
didn't.
With your computer, yeah.
I know.
And I love that documentary on Helvetica. So
it's so good. Helvetica was my favorite font until I saw the documentary and I saw how many people also loved it.
That I'm
and
the
then
same
my
way.
Little hipster girl inside was like, you can't like it anymore. Move on.
A little too mainstream for me.
Yeah, go back to Times New Roman.
Yeah, I need something with a serif.
Yeah, get some serifs up in here. But yeah, I also worked at American Eagle.
Oh, very patriotic.
I know. Yeah. I'm about to go out for American Airlines, I guess, with this rate.
Yeah. Christmas season, holiday season, working retail is
terrible.
Hell on earth.
Absolutely hell on earth.
And I can't imagine working at the mall.
Oh God.
What mall? Like, you're from Florida, right?
So I'm this from is all Florida.
Like,
I worked in the Seminole Town Center Mall, which means nothing to anybody.
I know Gainesville.
Why do you know randomly Gainesville of all places?
I stayed in Gainesville for like a week.
Okay.
Or maybe like 5 days.
So you're doing something at UF, obviously.
No.
Whoa.
I was on a road trip and my bus, listeners know the story, like a bunch of my friends and I, we bought a school bus.
Okay.
When we were like 20 and we took it around the country.
You
and it
bought one?
Yeah. We all threw in like $200 and there were 16 of us. And,
oh my God.
Yeah.
It was a lot of friends.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We rolled deep. Our bus, the thing about the bus is it's in terrible shape. It like maxed out at like 35 miles an hour. And we've got it all the way out to Florida and it broke down. Luckily one of the guys, what's cool about traveling that many people, someone has family everywhere.
Sure.
Yeah. So one of our friends actually had family there. So we just stayed with him till the bus got fixed. And it was a lot of walking to the mall. Like, cause we didn't have anything to drive.
Oh my God. Is the Gainesville Mall good?
I'd say so. Like, there are no other options. We made a lot of friends.
Okay.
Yeah, we basically just played mall rats the entire time we were there. And
So it was a magic school bus into the past, into like the seventh grade.
Oh yeah, yeah.
When you were like a mall rat on Friday
night. All
right,
well, my mom's gonna pick me up now. It's late. Okay, let's go meet at the Starbucks.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. We're just kind of stranded. The only thing to do in that town, because we weren't even 21 yet. We were just 20, so we couldn't get in anywhere.
Yeah.
So it was just, that was really smart of us to go at that time. But we just went to the mall every day and just hung out at the mall and just sat around and just loitered.
Wow.
Yeah, so I know Gainesville. I know Gainesville.
In and out.
Yeah.
The Gainesville Mall.
I could walk, drop you, next time you're at Gainesville, you drop my name. They'll treat you well.
Oh, that's very funny. Yeah, malls. I've had a lot of experience in malls. I also worked at Sapporo. In the mall? Sbarro.
Oh, Sbarro. The
pizza.
Italiano pizza. Yeah. See, that's my Italian accent. It's terrible.
I mean, I would understand that as Italian.
Oh.
I'm pretty bad. Anytime I do an Italian accent, I just yell.
Oh, yeah. Like, I just did.
What are you doing?
That's actually good, though. That's kind of New York-y, too. Like, yeah. East Coast.
You're right.
No, but
really not
Italian
point.
New York. Like you're from the Bronx.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop trying this, though, because we're gonna insult some people.
Oh, I'm sure I already have.
Yeah, whatever.
Sabaro, and that was a weird job. It was my friend was working there, and it was around the holiday season, and they needed someone. So I was looking for a job, and he called me and said, "Do you still need a job?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Can you come to Sabaro at the Seminole Town Center Mall in 5 minutes?" And I said, "I guess, sure, I'll be there." And so I started working that same day, no interview process. I was just there, serving pizzas and getting food poisoning.
Really? They just brought you in and just like, "All right, you put this on and put this apron on and get back there."
Yeah, they're like, "You'll figure it out." And it was very simple to figure out. And I spent every single day there until I got food poisoning, actually. And I couldn't work there anymore. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you the story of how I got food poisoning. It's really not very nice, but maybe this will help somebody else. I was working at Sabaro, and I was taking my break, and they have a slice of cheese pizza, and then it's really good with Parmesan cheese. So I went in the back, and instead of cleaning out the jars like we're supposed to do, there was this one jar of Parmesan cheese that was just stuck on the bottom, and it was like, You know Parmesan cheese. It's supposed to just flake out, right?
Yeah. So this is like the grated Parmesan, that like the powdery stuff that's kind of like fake. It's not the actual shredded stuff. Yeah, but everyone knows it.
Everyone knows it.
Yeah.
And so the jar I had, or the shaker I had, it wasn't flaky. It was caked and it was compressed and it was sedimented. And
it was in the shaker. So like when people don't realize, it's like same with like salt and pepper. If they don't wash those things out, the salt at the bottom, like, because they're constantly refill it. So that's actually the oldest salt and the oldest Parmesan
cheese
at the bottom.
10 years old.
Yeah, because it's always just getting refilled at the top.
Yeah, probably older than the establishment itself. That's how long it's been there.
So that's so aged cheese. People love the aged Parmesan.
Right.
Yeah, so you got some gourmet Parmesan grated.
Gourmet Sabaro. So I couldn't even shake it. That's how intense.
He wanted it bad.
I wanted it bad, and I was so lazy that I couldn't go to the front and get a fresh one. So I was knocking it on the side of the table, trying to loosen it up, just so I could put it on my pizza. I don't need it, but I just had to have it. So I ended up releasing some of the Parmesan cheese, getting it on the pizza. Within 30 minutes, I felt like I was going to die. I went home to sleep, and I was like, throwing up, doing all this crazy stuff that I'm not going to go into because it's gross.
Yeah, people are eating while they listen.
Yeah, they're eating their Sabaro slices with some fresh Parmesan cheese. So I worked there so much that I had nightmares while I was having food poisoning, bedridden sickness. I had nightmares that I couldn't get the pizzas out in time, and everyone was yelling at me, and customers were lined up that I couldn't even
that's
see.
That's common, I think. Like
serving nightmares?
The serving nightmares that you just wake up like, so much anxiety.
I know.
You like sit right up and you're like, "Oh my God, I forgot to give that guy's soda."
I know. It's horrible. I've had so many serving jobs as well, but it's very true. If you work there long enough or for lots of duration in a week, you end up having really bad nightmares that you forgot to drop a check or you spilt something on somebody. Usually it's you forgot something. That's what I've found.
Oh no, that always woke me up.
It's horrible.
That's a total thing.
Ugh.
Working at the mall, I almost got a job at the mall. I say almost. I was nowhere near getting this job, but I applied for this store called Hollister. It was
that's cool.
I was young. I needed a job, and I saw Hollister. They were opening up a Hollister at my local mall, and I thought, oh, I'm gonna go apply there.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny because like that's like. I mean, Hollister's known worldwide. It's a, I think, what's the other, Abercrombie. It's like Abercrombie's like a Squire guitar. And they play off like, oh, we're totally California. Like, uh-huh. We're the beach, we're everything. So I go and I go to the interview, and it's a group interview. So like a bunch of people my age, maybe even a little older.
Oh, that's a group interview?
A group interview.
You basically have to outshine everybody else?
Yeah. So,
I hate it.
Oh, they like the competition.
I hate that.
You want people to fight for the job, Megan.
This is Hollister.
Yeah, this is not just any store. This is Hollister. And what they did, this was their interview process. They lined us up single file, but like kind of like shoulder to shoulder though. Excuse me. And
oh my gosh.
And so they're about I don't know, 12 people on the line.
Like a and, military
yeah, we
lineup?
And this is in the middle of the mall. Like, this is, like, the store isn't even open yet, you know? So we're, like, in the food court lined up.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, we're about to start a flash mob, you know? And, and then the girl
very
who's...
conspicuous yeah, flash mob.
Exactly. And the girl who's doing the interview is just, like, pacing back and forth like she's our general.
Oh,
I'm like,
all
right, so this is what to expect. if you want to work at Hollister... The thing is, you got to look like you just got back from the beach. That's what we're going for. You can wear your flip-flops.
Okay.
You can wear your jean shorts. You can, you know, like, just look natural. We refer you to wear our clothes, but just want to look like you're getting back from the beach. And it's a really fun job, great perks, blah, blah, blah. And then she goes, all right, so here's what we're going to do. You and stay. And she pointed like five people. You guys stay. Everyone else, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, my God. She typecasted
yeah,
you?
Yeah, just straight up. Typecasted me.
Whoa!
And I'm so bitter. But I guess anyway, I didn't really look like I was going. I came back from the beach or anything. But
you're all wearing snow gear.
Yeah. I know.
The one thing we told you.
Oh, this parka was a bad choice. Like, this is not. I shouldn't have worn this. Yeah. So and now every time I walk by Hollister, it's like waving my fist. Like, God damn you guys! You don't know what you missed out
just
on.
As a grown man, yeah, just years and years.
Oh, I hold that Hollister grudge. All right, before we get out of here. Oh, wait. Any other jobs you want to talk about that you've had that you know?
What other jobs have I had?
Maybe not anybody does. I mean, you do so much already. Like, that's why it's like it's crazy that you even had time to do these other jobs.
Yeah. Well, I didn't start doing YouTube until maybe 5 years ago. So I'm 26 now. So up until 21, I was. Doing just, normal jobs, part-time jobs.
Did you know you want to be like an entertainer? Was that always something in your blood? Like, oh, I got to do something.
I think so, yeah. I wanted to be an actress when I was like 7. I could cry on command, and my mom said I was very dramatic. So I figured...
Oh, you could cry on command. That's trouble.
I don't think I can anymore.
Oh,
I mean,
geez.
I don't know.
That's a good tool to have.
Like, on the right day, yeah. I could probably cry on command.
Oh, no.
But other than that, I mean, just like random jobs here and there. I used to graphic design for a lot of cheer t-shirts, cheerleading gyms. And what else did I do? Teach tumbling classes for kids. But all the interesting jobs were the, oh my gosh, I had one job that it still haunts me. Have you ever been to a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah?
I have been to one.
Okay.
I've been to one.
As a guest?
As a guest, yes. I'm not Jewish, so it wasn't like for me.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't know if you... I mean, I guess, yeah. Those are the two options.
Yeah.
Guest or it's yours.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I saw one from afar. I wasn't invited. Yeah.
I was a peeping Tom. I just had some binoculars yeah. from the street over. But yeah, I was one of the girls... there's dancers, girls and guys that... hype up the 13-year-olds during cocktail hour and then during...
You hype them up?
Yeah, so they hire us. They hire an entertainment group to pump up the kids to make it a more fun experience.
Who's ready for matzo ball soup?
Yeah, exactly.
You guys ready for dinner?
So
I can't hear you.
What we have to do is we have to dance with them on the dance floor after they do this ceremonial chair dance. But in the beginning, so that they will dance with you during the actual event, they have a cocktail hour. So all the 13-year-old kids are running around and you have to try and be friends with them. And at this point, I think I'm maybe 18 or 19. No, maybe I'm 20. I'm around 20. So you're trying to get these 13-year-olds to think you're cool and you're
there
seeking
in your own
validation.
Accord.
Yeah. And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm getting paid to be here and you're being so mean to me. And they're just, and 13-year-olds are the worst people to be around.
They suck.
In the abstract, it's just
they're cooler
the worst.
Than everybody. Like they yeah, if they don't know you,
yeah.
they don't yeah, they're better than you already. In their heads, like who's this?
Exactly.
Sucker?
And so like you're older than them, but they think they're cooler than you, so they're not gonna wanna dance with you. So it's
really they didn't want to dance with you.
No.
Oh no.
It was rejection on a whole nother level.
That's
terrible.
Look, I hate rejection. Like, people ask me to, like, carry their baby, and I'd love to, but if that baby cries, my feelings are going to get so hurt.
Yeah.
That I was like, oh, you hold on to that baby. I don't want to hold your baby. Like,
not taking
or if,
a chance
like,
on that
or if
again.
The if a dog, like, barks at me or something, I'm like, come on, man, you don't even know me. Like, I'm a good guy. Like, that stuff gives me anxiety. So
yeah.
The fact that, yeah, you had to do that and
yeah.
get rejected by 13-year-olds, like, They actually do that. They still do that to adults. Like, I'll go, you know, if I go to a club or, like, you know what I do? I go to this thing called SEMA in Vegas. It's, like, a huge car convention.
Okay.
And, like, Honda and, like, all the big companies, like, they buy out the big clubs, like Tao or,
sure.
You know, yeah, and then they throw huge parties there. But the thing is, you know, it's all just a bunch of car nerds, like old, okay. like, old-time guys, like, old-timers in business, and then, like, and just, like, a bunch of dudes, like, with zero social skills.
Yeah.
But then there are a lot of pretty girls walking around.
Sure.
And it's like, oh.
You're working here.
I get it.
Right.
Like, you know, they'll come up and they'll try to strike a conversation. Like, hey, get out of here, you.
Hey.
I know what you're up to. I'm like a 13-year-old kid. Like, I'm on to you. Get out of here. What do you think you're doing?
Go get your check somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like, be here on your own volition.
There are some suckers over there in the VIP lounge. You leave me. It's an open bar. I'll be all right.
Yeah. Like, this is all I need.
Yeah, so it's they still that's still a thing. Like,
yeah.
like I still see that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're girls who, yeah, that's their job. And I mean, like, in any of those conventions too, like, you know, the booth babes and the,
yeah.
and all that stuff. Like, it's like, oh, okay, but yeah. So you did that, like, with
yeah.
little 13-year-old kids.
Yeah,
that's a cool job. Like, it's cool. Like, as it's in unique, it's different. Like,
yeah, if that's what we're defining cool as, it was definitely cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of unique though, before we get out of here, is the trying something new every month.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing that? How long has that
been going on? 1 month. I just did that one bee thing.
The bee thing, like, but you're already, like, established, like, this is something I'm doing every month,
yeah.
like, starting now.
that's when I started it. I started it in April, or in March. So I got to do something. It's the end of April. We're rounding it out. I got to do something new. Do you have any suggestions of new? I was going to horseback ride.
You haven't horseback?
No. I was very underprivileged.
Yeah, I've done it once, and it's haunted me. I'll never do it again.
Really?
Yeah, like, it was like on, it was, we went, my family went to Mexico, and like they did a tour on horseback, not just a little kid, but, and my horse is already acting kind of weird. I could tell it's like very aggressive. It was a very aggressive horse, Megan. And as we were going, our group was going up a hill, another I was like to the beach. We were going down the beach. Another group was going back to the beach. And once that group got like half a mile down, my horse like turns back and thinks that that's his group.
Oh,
and turns
no.
around and just starts sprinting towards that other group. And yeah, just it was just panic mode for me. Like, should I pull on the, what do I do? Like, yelling as my horse just galloping away from my group. And like the other guys had to like come catch me and stuff. And
that sounds terrifying.
Oh yeah. And like my groin was just like killing me after that.
Dang.
Like, it was just yeah. So yeah, never again have I done it. And,
okay.
And I don't know if it's because I don't want to, or if it's just I haven't had the opportunity. It's not like it's something I get to do.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you should try horseback riding. It,
sure.
I totally sold
yeah.
that one.
Yeah. I'll maybe do it not at a beach and not in a group.
Yeah. Don't do
I
that.
I feel like
yeah.
those
go,
are the two things.
Go
I've learned.
Solo in the mountains.
That sounds equally as terrifying.
Yeah. Oh, man, there are a lot of things you could do. Yeah. Really, you really could. The world's your oyster right now. You can do it however you want. Eat some oysters. Have you had oysters?
I actually did eat an oyster. I used to be allergic to shellfish. Not anymore, but I wish I was, because I do not like oysters at all.
Oh.
Terrible.
All right. More oysters for me then, because yeah. I love them. All right. Well, yeah, you're on the Resume podcast. That's
Yeah. That is my new. That's my
that.
April. Thank you so much.
This is your April?
Yeah. I've never done this before.
Hey, you haven't. You should come back though.
I would love to.
And you should do a podcast.
I would love to.
You gotta get that going.
All right, I'll work on it.
All right, so Megan Batoon, just all you gotta do, find her on your homepage.
That's
open
where
up,
I am.
Open up Google Chrome, Firefox, Safari, whatever, and see her YouTube page, youtube.com/MeganBatoon. Watch all of her videos. We didn't even talk to you about fries, but we'll save that for another day, because
yeah,
I got.
We'll do a whole episode on fries alone. I've got a lot to say.
I love that you love fries. Like, yeah, I do. I do too. There's so many different kinds. Yeah, we come back. We'll do a fry episode. I'm not kidding. Like that.
Like, we'll eat fries while we do it as well.
Oh, and then
that's just me saying that, so it happens.
Oh, it'll happen. Yeah, it's like the secret. If you want, if you just say it, it'll happen. It'll happen. And follow her on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Just Megan Batoon. Facebook is actually Megan Batoon F.
Yeah, because we got to make life difficult somehow, right?
Yeah, that's super difficult. I friended Megan Batoon regular, and I don't know who that is.
Me neither.
And that's pretty much it. Target, Burt's Bees, everything. Take a selfie. Get some more bees in this world.
Yeah, do
Let's
it.
Let's all be friends. let's get the bees going, making us honey and keeping us alive. Because, you know, you've all heard, if all the bees die, then we die.
Yeah.
And I don't want that. And all you could save humanity by taking a selfie is what you really need to do. You take a selfie and save the world. And it's that easy, everybody. For those, just a reminder for those listening, the music you're listening to right now is available on iTunes, Google Play, Amazon. Just search Resume Podcast Theme. Helps support the show. Gives you a cool ringtone. And also, if you're going to shop on Amazon, click through the Amazon banner at chrisloxamana.com. It won't cost you anything extra to purchase whatever you want. Just cost you an extra click, but it does help support the show. We get a little bit of that money and keeps the lights on here at Corolla Studios. And that's it. So, Megan, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure meeting you, and you're very talented. Look forward to seeing everything that you do, and keep me updated on the once a month thing.
Will do.
That's fascinating. And don't stop, because I know a lot of people who are like, oh, I'll try this once a month thing, and it'll stop after like a few months, but you gotta keep it going.
Yeah, we'll do.
And keep Promise. Telling everybody what you're doing. And that is it. So once again, my name is Chris Loxamana. This has been Resume. We'll let you know.
Making my cat happy is my number one priority, and Fresh Step Outstretch litter helps me do just that. Meet Mr. Mittens. Mitty, for short. Mitty is happiest when his litter box is clean and fresh, and Fresh Step Outstretch is amazing at absorbing waste and odor. We sure have found our common ground, haven't we? Happy cat, happy life. Find Fresh Step Outstretch at a store near you. Fresh Step is a registered trademark of the Clorox Pet Products Company. Certain trademarks used under license from the Procter & Gamble Company or its affiliates.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big.